You're in Hebrews chapter 11. So we know the story. Most of us who have grown up in Sunday school or grown up in the church know about the Battle of Jericho. Right? When I say Jericho, what comes to your mind? The walls. What happened? They came down. Well, one crucial fact about this battle that we must never forget is that it was impossible. It was impossible for those walls to come down. Jericho stood between the children of Israel. Remember, they had just crossed the Jordan River, right? And God was leading them from Joshua into the promised land. But in order to get into the promised land, what was in the way? Jericho. So Jericho stood between God's promise and the land he had promised them. Now, a smart man would have just walked away because it was impossible. The walls were totally impenetrable. However, what is impossible for man is what? Possible with God. So the question I want to ask this morning is, how was the battle won that day? We're in Hebrews 11, right? Look at verse 30 with me. How was the battle won that day? This verse answers that question. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith. That's all it says. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering in your house this morning. May you be honored and glorified. May Jesus Christ be preeminent. May we be encouraged and challenged through the preaching of your word this morning. Not my words, but your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A few points that I want us to gather this morning. So let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Number one is we have to face the challenge. The city of Jericho is not very far from the Jordan River. The Canaanites actually had built Jericho as a gateway city to their land. And any invading army would walk up and have looked at those walls and said, no way, going the other way. It was too big to pass. You couldn't just go around Jericho in order to get into Canaan, the promised land. You had to go through Jericho. And what was Jericho to the people of God? First of all, it was a pagan city of unbelief. And it was a city of impossibility. Now, when we say that Jericho was a city of pagans, that's kind of an understatement. A little bit of history and reading into that, Canaanites were actually involved in child sacrifice and gross sexual immorality. And one thing we know, that God chose his people. He chose them to be separate, right? Called to be different from everybody else. And so Canaanites and all the paganism could not coexist with God's chosen people. It had to be confronted and completely destroyed, or the Israelites would never be safe. Over the past 140 years, archaeologists have done a whole lot of digging in the area and a whole lot of research on Jericho itself. And they actually found that there weren't just one wall. There wasn't just one wall. It actually were two walls, an inner and an outer wall, built on a slope. Again, making it impenetrable to any invading army. So when I say the word Jericho to you, I want you to think of one word. Anytime in the future, when you think of Jericho, I want you to think of this one word. And I want you to think of impossible. Because it's impossible. And that is why the Canaanites built it, because it wasn't, they didn't want to be invaded. We're in Joshua chapter 6. Look with me, starting in verse 2 down through verse 5. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, sound a long blast on the trumpets. Have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up. Everyone straight in." God's instructions. Some amazing battle plan, hey? Really seemed odd. March around the city once a day for 6 days. March with the Ark of the Covenant in the front. Put 7 priests in front of the Ark. On the 7th day, do what? March around 7 times. And as they march, have the priests blow the trumpets or the ram's horns. On the 7th day, on the 7th time, have the people do what? Shout. When the people shout, the walls will fall down. When the walls fall down, enter the city and conquer it. Joshua added a few more details. He instructed the people to be silent as they marched around the city. He put the soldiers in front of the priests and behind the ark. He had the priests blow the trumpets. Here's the plan. Marching, blowing horns, and shouting. Sounds like a football game, doesn't it? Marching band and blowing their horns and a whole bunch of shouting and carrying on. From a human perspective, this plan seems what? Impossible. Okay, quite frankly, I'm going to tell you, from a human perspective, this plan seems stupid. Right? I mean, I was chatting with Levi for a few minutes before the service, and he said he feels God wants him to go into military, and he's feeling like he wants to, you know, be the one to help oversee and you know, from a satellite and direct the troops, and part of that is Levi in here this morning? He's in the back. Part of that is building the battle plan and following the plan, right? Are you going to formulate some sort of battle plan like this? Probably not. Why? Because it's impossible. You're not going to win a battle marching around the city, flying your planes around the city if you're in the Air Force. Well, you're not going to win a battle like that, are you? From a human perspective, it seems doomed. But praise God, the story is not over yet. So firstly, we want to face the challenge, then we want to follow the plan that God has. Well, oftentimes we want to put our own plan. You see, if I was Joshua in that case, I mean, I just saw, you know, God do some amazing things as he parted the Jordan River and they walked through. But I would have been like, God, are you serious? But guess what? His plan is always which one? The right one. God's plan always is the right plan. And when we follow things his way, it's amazing what happens. The impossible becomes possible. So face the challenge, follow the plan. But why was it possible? What gave the Israelites the hope that they could conquer Jericho? They only had to remember the promise of God. God said he would give them the city. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and fighting men.'" When God makes a promise, he keeps it. How many times? Does he ever fail to keep a promise? Do you ever fail to keep a promise? That's why we have a hard time dealing with promises, except when we come to God's word, we can see when God makes a promise, every single time he always follows through. And that is how they could even believe and have any hope of conquering the city of Jericho. That is how we can even begin to think of when we think of Jericho as impossible. And right now, I don't know what you're facing in your life, but I'm pretty sure that if you're breathing this morning and you have blood flowing through your body, you're looking at something in your life, have recently or will very soon, you will be looking at something in your life that is impossible. Right? At that point, we must remember the promises of God. God said he would give them that city. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. He knew the victory was guaranteed, Joshua did, as long as they obeyed God's plan. I love this part about the story, that God put himself in the middle of the plan. Do you remember, as we read, it said to put the ark. What is the ark? What is the Ark of the Covenant? Do you remember? The Ark of the Covenant was God's presence. Thank you. God's presence literally was with them, and he put them actually in front of the people. And so he was actually going to be leading them as they walked around. His presence was literally going to be with them. He promised them. And as he called Joshua in the beginning of the book of Joshua, he says, as I was with Moses, so what? So I will be with you. Jesus Christ himself said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You see, how can I begin to battle and deal with these Jerichos in my life? How can I deal with the impossible? We remember God's promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And he is part of the plan. He actually was in the Ark of the Covenant leading them into battle. I wonder what the people of Jericho were thinking as they saw the people marching around. You ever think about that? Standing up on the wall looking, what are these fools doing? They're just marching around our city silently, not even saying anything. But, you know, the reality is they had already lost the battle. Why? Because God was in the plan. Because God makes all the difference. God is the one who makes the impossible possible. And it's not you and me. The double walls couldn't keep him out. The God who created the stones, by the way, how the stones that were used to build Jericho, who created those stones? God is the one who created those stones, and he could easily blow them over if he wanted to. Now, we don't know exactly how he did it, but we do know that the walls came crashing down, and Joshua and his people took the city. History records a story of a missionary to China. His name was Robert Morrison. He was on a ship on his way to China. One day, the captain of the ship asked him a question. What do you think you're going to do? Convert China? Morrison said, no, I don't think I'll ever convert China. I think God will. That's the same kind of faith that brought the walls of Jericho down. So we remember God's promises, and then we never give up. He told them to march around for how many days? Six days once a day. I mean, it's not that hard to probably get up and march around the walls. But I mean, if I was one of the Israelites, I would be like, this seems kind of, you know, I don't know. Like nothing happened on the first day. Right? And then on the seventh day, why march around seven times? I mean, like nothing happened on the first. They had to do it God's way and God's timing, and they never gave up. Could the walls have, could they not have fallen the first day? Sure, they could have. They could have fallen on the fifth or the sixth day, or of course, but the walls could have fallen any time God wanted. So why did they all continue to march? Because how God works is that, you see, he didn't even need them to march. He actually could have just said, walk up to the walls of Jericho and sit there and watch me do an amazing thing. But that's not how God works most of the time, is it? God works by using his people to accomplish his purposes. Now, this is where this gets personal to you and to me. It should get personal to you and to me, is because we can think, well, you know what, Jericho, that's however, you know, a couple thousand years ago, and I don't need to worry about that because that was then, but I'm here now, 2024, and it doesn't really seem like God is here with us right now. Really seems like there's a lot of nonsense going on in America right now, and I just don't see God working. But God, his normal plan is to use his people to accomplish his purposes. So even though God could have caused the walls to come crashing down, he chose to use his people as part of his plan to march around. But what they had to do was they had to obey, to shout, and when the walls came down, they were able to go in and take the city. They never gave up. They continued. Dr. James Boyce has some great insight on this. He says, not only is there no substitute for obedience to God, there is no substitute for obedience in all the particulars to the very end. And when God does not act as quickly as we think he should, or in precisely the way we are convinced he should act, that's a daily basis for us, isn't it? We are still not justified in pulling back or adopting an alternative procedure. It was only when the people of God had obeyed God faithfully that the victory came and the walls came down. Verse 20 says, when the trumpets sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. That's how faith works. When they took that step of faith, God honored it. And the walls of Jericho came crashing down as a result. I recently read a quote from Hudson Taylor, an amazing missionary also to China. He repeatedly saw God do some amazing things when things were hopeless. And he was looking back over his life experiences, and he said, there are three stages in any great task undertaken for God: impossible, difficult, and done. See, here's one thing we learn, that whenever we try to start to do anything for God, it's not as always easy as you think. But somehow, we think that just because we're doing something for God, that it's all going to fall into place quickly, and the results will be miraculous. Now, we have been in Durban since 2011. We had been in Nairobi, Kenya for 3 years since 2008. So we've been in Durban for 13 years. And only now when in the past couple years, I mean, you saw our video, and I'm here to give you a really cool update that what we're seeing right now, and God is moving in some really cool ways. For as long as our organization, ABWE, has been in Durban, we have been praying and asking God for Zulu men to stand up and get saved and want, be the ones to help lead the ministry forward and be the ones leading the church. And for years, we haven't seen that. Only in the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we're seeing Zulu. I mean, it's crazy what God is doing across KwaZulu-Natal, the province we live in, through the radio program. We have a church plant that's doing great. Pastor Mzom Kyongo, that the story was about him. He's now, they're getting calls regularly through the radio program begging us for church plants. Please come plant a church in our community. And by the way, these are men calling and asking. We got men being trained. We've got men being leaders in the church. See, and ABWE has been in Durban since the 70s and 80s. And only now, however many years, a long time later, are we actually seeing some fruits of labors that were done long and long ago. Only now are we seeing God do some amazing, miraculous things among Zulu men. And why I say that is I'm thankful that the guys who originally went back in the 70s and 80s didn't give up. And I'm thankful that even over these 13 years that we've been there, that you guys have stuck by us and you're still praying and supporting us, and that you never gave up, and that God has given us the courage to never give up. And, you know, it's hard. This thing called the Christian life, it's hard. It's not easy. We face tasks that seem impossible. I mean, I'm sure if I could sit in Pastor Todd's office and chat even for 5-10 minutes, he's going to tell me plenty of stories over the years you've been here that are impossible. But by faith, the walls came down. I mean, sooner or later in our life, we are going to find something that's impossible. The bad news is that it really is impossible. The good news is that God loves to start with the impossibility. When God wants to do something big, he starts with something small. And when he wants to do the miraculous, he starts with the impossible. You and I would rather start with something big, wouldn't we? We want to start with something big and go from there. God starts with the impossible and turns it into a reality. As we close and as I wrap this up, the Battle of Jericho. What was the Battle of Jericho really about? Was it against the walls? It really wasn't. The Battle of Jericho was in the heart of the people of God. Would they really believe that God is who he says he is and that God will do what he says he will do? Would they do what seemed absurd in order to be able to see God to do the impossible? That was where the battle was. And you and I, it's no different. The battle is right here in our hearts. Are we going to believe that God is who he says he is? Are we going to believe that God will do what he says he will do? You know, he says, I will build my church, right? Right? His word says that, doesn't it? He says, I will build my church. And the cool thing for us is that we've actually get a chance to see in Durban. We've actually got a chance to see him and all of our hard work and all the mistakes we've done. We've got a chance to see and be part of him building his church internationally in Durban. It's been so cool to see him do the impossible. But I'm going to tell you what, it took all of us working together as a team By the way, you're part of our team. We're in this thing together. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. So where do I find my faith? Where do you find your faith? Hebrews 12 tells us the answer. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He starts it and he finishes it. Keep your eyes, keep our eyes on him. When King Jesus leads the way, the walls must come tumbling down. When King Jesus leads the way, when you and I lead the way, the walls are impossible. When King Jesus leads the way, the walls must come tumbling down. Let's close our eyes.